Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yes, that includes also the little children who have been baptized when they were infants. I want to start off this sermon a little slowly to let you get settled and ready to listen to the Word of God. So just take a moment to take care of everything you need to. And why start that way? Why start slowly? Well, because this particular Lord's Day and this particular sermon talks also to the youngest members of our congregation, the youngest who can really listen to a sermon. And that would be children roughly around the ages of 4 to 6 years old. That's the earliest that we begin to understand. And I want to talk to you guys first and most in the sermon. Now, we know all the sermons are for the whole congregation, but usually it's older people who are emphasized. But this time, I really want the younger members' attention. I want the children's attention. So maybe just for today, you can copy what I do with my hands. Just for this sermon. So what I do with my hands, you guys can do with your hands. Just this time. And to the children, it's well worth saying that the Bible is for you. In Acts 2, the Apostle Peter's talking to the people, and he tells them, after they've heard the gospel, that they should be baptized. And what God says after that in the Bible is that those who were baptized were received into the congregation of the church. So everyone who is baptized is a member of the church of Christ. And everyone who is baptized may also be members of this particular church. So when the Lord's Day asks, how does holy baptism show to you that Christ's sacrifice helps you? That's a question directed to the oldest and to the youngest members of the congregation. So now, children, how many of you remember what happens when we have a baptism? You can raise your hand if you remember what happens at baptism. Very good. I'm seeing some hands go up. We remember what happens at baptism. First, the minister reads from the songbook, and we hear the wonderful promises of God from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father looks at you, young children, when you were infants, when you were babies, and he promises that he will be a good father to you, even making an eternal covenant of grace with you. Those are big words. But what it means is that for your entire life, for the rest of your life, God will treat you with Jesus Christ in mind. That's what those words mean. God will treat you with Jesus Christ in mind. Because of Jesus, God the Father promises to bring you good and make anything that is evil turn to your good. The Son looks at you when you're an infant and promises that he died so that you can be washed clean from all your sin. He promises that you can be righteous before God by faith. And the Holy Spirit promises that he will always be with you. You will never be apart from God. He's always living with you in your hearts. He gives you the gifts that Christ wants to give you until finally you are perfect. And then after that, while he's still reading from the psalm book, the minister talks about Bible stories about Abraham and about Peter and Christ to show you that God does give baptism also for the children of believers. After prayer, the parents are asked some questions, and then the baby can be baptized, which we do right over there at the baptism font. And all of this is done so that you children, you kids, can know something from the very first years that you are allowed to understand, and that something is that God has been telling you, you are holy since you are very young. That's the theme for this sermon, and there's three parts to it. First of all, you are holy. And secondly, you can be certain that you are holy. You can know that you're holy. And thirdly, you can live as holy children. So once again, you need to know God has been telling you you are holy since you were very young. And we'll begin with you are holy. Now the most important thing about baptism is the message that we hear with it. The message is that children are washed clean by Jesus Christ. His blood and the Holy Spirit make the child clean. Now, baptism tells you a number of things. It tells you that you are a member of this church, and that's good, but that's not the most important thing. And at baptism, of course, the members of the church come forward and they shake the hands of the parents. They congratulate them on the birth of their child and the baptism of their child. They celebrate with them, but even that's not the most important thing. And your parents promised to teach you God's word, and yet even that's not the most important thing, even though it's very important and you should listen to your parents when they teach you. The most important thing about baptism is to see that water really washes dirt away. And then to trust God when he says that Jesus Christ washes your sin away. That has been done for you, and since that has been done for you, that makes you holy. So you can even say it out loud. You can say, I am holy. And this is the way that the Apostle Peter describes the church, which includes also children. This is how Peter describes the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now, I know that's a lot of big words, and you may not know the meaning of them yet. But it means, children, that you are different from all the other kids in the world. It means you have a special job to do, and that job is to worship God. Now, we read from the Bible where God talks about washing. God tells us in Isaiah 4, verse 4, that he will wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion. He'll clean off all the blood that's in the city of Jerusalem. And what God's talking about there is sin. Sin is on us like dried blood. What God talks about here makes it sound as though a war is going on. He's talking about the smell of dying people. The smell of blood and of feces is in the air. Our sins are like an awful war, and our sins raise a stench to God. A stench is a bad smell. And that's what it's like to God when you disobey your parents, when they tell you to do the dishes or to eat your meal or to clean up. That's what it's like to God when you get greedy and mean to other kids. And when you get a little older, maybe you learn to say bad things about other people and you bully them. It's a bad smell for God. And the teenagers among us will want to know that The same thing happens when you show disrespect and dishonesty, laziness and worldliness, even isolating ourselves from the fellow members of the church. It's a bad smell. It's offensive for God. Adults also continue to act in the same way. They just get more polite about their conflicts, their slander, and their self-righteousness. But we all have it. We all have this sin on us, and all of it smells like crap to God. That's what the Hebrew word for filth is. It's a bathroom word. And if you think it's impolite or offensive just to hear language like that in a sermon, well, you start to get the picture. What these things are like actually to God when He looks on them and when we do them. Now, I don't expect most of you to know what a war zone smells like. But maybe you've walked down the street, you walk over a manhole, or you walk over a storm drain, and some of them have a particular smell to them. It's a sharp and it's a rotten smell. Maybe you've gone on a dump run, and your parents have taken you on a dump run if you're a child, and you smelled it there. Or maybe you even just have to make the mistake of opening your garbage at the end of a week, and the smell hits you. It's gross. It's an awful smell, and that's what it smells like to God. That's what we smell like to God. But God tells us, I'm going to wash it all away. I will make my people stop doing those things that make them smell bad to me. By themselves, they're like the sewer, but when I get involved, I will make them like a clean and pure stream of water. Instead of smelling like death and rotten things, they will be healthy and they will be alive because of what I will do. And they will be a fragrant aroma before me. And so that means that even children as small as those who are going to kindergarten, even ages in grade 2 and up and up and up, they can stand straight and tall before God as they pray. They may do that because they can know that God is pleased with them. And He's pleased with you because He's washed all believers, you and all believers, no matter how sinful they are and no matter how old they are, until they are completely clean. Now, everybody washes with water to clean the dirt and the sweat off their bodies. And you know what happens there. Everybody knows. When you're in the shower, when you're in the bath, the dirt leaves your body, flushes it down the drain, and it's taken far away. You never have to see it again. You never have to see it again. And when you're done, you no longer smell like dirt and sweat and work. And the same goes for your sin. God washes your sins away so that you never have to see it again. But God says He washes you with something that's different than water. God washes with a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning. We read that in Isaiah. Now that doesn't sound very nice. But remember that God washed us with that spirit of judgment and burning when Jesus was on the cross. It happened when Jesus shed His blood and God poured out His judgment on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Christ bore the judgment of God, now you are clean in the eyes of your God. And that is the most important thing about baptism. When you see a baby up at the front, God is making a promise to that baby that he or she will be clean in God's eyes through Jesus Christ. Not only that, but every time you witness a baptism, God is also renewing the promise that He made to you at your baptism. God doesn't want you to forget that you are also baptized, just as the baby is being baptized at the front. You have to remember that God's the one who cleans you, and He keeps you clean. So that just like you learn to take a bath before church so that you can go to church, God also makes you clean so that you can worship Him. And for those people that God has washed clean, He calls them holy. That's the name for people who God has washed. Isaiah 4 verse 3 reads, "And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning." That means that the children in this congregation today can say to themselves, "I am holy." And you can even say it out loud with me because I'm going to say it again. Children can say to themselves, "I am holy." And that brings us to the second point. You are certain that you are holy. You can be certain that you are holy. Now, it's not easy to remember something all the time, is it? It's easy to forget simple things. It's even easy to forget that you are holy when you play with your friends and when you get ready for school. And when you take your summer break away from our Christian schools, we start to forget something that we're used to hearing every day, which is that God calls us holy. And that's why, even though we're holy, we still do some pretty unholy things. We sin. Believers, old and young, still do all the things that are a stench to God. The blood and the feces and the stink comes back and we feel dirty. We feel filthy. We begin to wonder then, can God even love me? Does God want me to be around? Don't I stink to God? We begin to doubt God because of our sin. And even though His word tells us that God will cleanse us and He's going to keep on cleaning us until we're not dirty anymore, we still have a hard time believing it all the time. And so God gives to us the good news of Christ Jesus in a sacrament. Now, some people say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Now, 1,000 words, that's about 10 minutes worth of talking, and I'm sure that all the children here could talk about the things that they're interested in or about their holidays for 10 minutes if only they had a picture to focus on and tell you what it's about, what it's good for, what you did. A lot can be said in just a picture, and a sacrament is like a picture. It tells us a lot of things. But you know, it's better than a picture because a picture can't move. And so a sacrament is like a moving picture. You don't just see a picture of water, and you're not just shown a picture of a clean baby. That would tell you something, but it wouldn't tell you as much as what we get. We get to see the cleaning in action. What we see is a helpless person being washed and becoming clean. And we're shown then that God Himself is active in the washing of believers. We're shown that people can't clean themselves, but God can clean people. In fact, He told Israel He could make them as clean as the whitest snow. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become wool." And so, through baptism as commanded by Christ, we are shown over and over and over again that our stench is washed away. And you should note what answer 69 says. It talks about the impurity of my soul. That is, all my sins. And so baptism, when you witness baptism, it's not just about the baby at the front. And it's not just about the parents who are having the baby baptized. Every time you see the baby being baptized, it's about you personally. And you should be telling yourself, my sins are washed away, just like that baby's being washed in front of the church. My sins are being washed away. I am not filthy in God's eyes. He has made me clean. And then you can say it to yourself again. I am holy. You see, you children, the kids need to know this for certain. Because growing up is filled with all kinds of pain, mistakes, and sins. And growing up gets a bit messy sometimes. But God tells you that as you get older and you make your mistakes, that you're allowed to believe that your sins are washed away every morning and every evening. You get to believe that God is happy with you. That's a promise he makes to everyone in the church. He promises us that Christ makes us pleasing to him. If you believe in Christ Jesus, then Jesus makes you a fragrant offering, a pleasing aroma to the Lord our God. He does that by forgiving us of all our sins, those in the past, those in the present, and those in the future, and even our original sin, the corruption in us, so that you will always be pleasing to your God. And now I know the way that that sounds to young people. And I'm pretty sure that members of the congregation who are old enough for catechism are saying to themselves, well, it doesn't really matter what I do then. I can get away with an awful lot of stuff because God forgives me of all my sins. But actually, when you learn how rotten sin is, how much of a stench it is to God, and how much he hates it, you won't think that way. You will learn that what God's word says is true, that you yourself were conceived and born in that kind of sin. And that sin leads to slavery, it leads to death, and it leads to condemnation. And once you capture that thought, once you really get it, and you receive it with a believing heart, then you will respond to the gospel of Christ with gratitude, with thankfulness. The more that you apply this vital truth, the more you will, with every fiber of your being, strive to live out of gratitude, which leads to a holy way of life. And as far as the other things that we see at baptism, like the congregation around us, and the parents making their promises, and the celebration afterwards, these all form important aspects of baptism as well. We've covered the main thrust of the sacrament of baptism, the thing to really focus on. But remember also that baptism tells you a lot of things, all of it, in a moving picture. First of all, it tells you who you are. You are holy. That means God wants you to worship him, and you are an heir. That means that God wants to give his promises to you. He wants to give you gifts. You are part of his church, and the church wouldn't be the same without you. And so baptism tells you who you are. Secondly, baptism tells you who loves you. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all show their love to you by making beautiful promises to you. No matter what, you can always count on being a child of God, being forgiven in Christ, and having the Spirit with you. Not only that, but your parents show their love for you by promising to give you the most precious thing they have, which is their faith. They will teach it to you. And the church loves you by promising to support them in this task. Thirdly, baptism tells you what your job is. We all like to know what we're supposed to be doing. Well, God has called you holy, and that means something for you. You are part of his covenant, part of his special promises. Because you are holy, your job is to worship God, to learn from the Bible, and to believe in his promises. So remember that when we have a baptism, it is as much about you as it is about the baby and the baby's family. All of us use that sacrament whenever we get to see it. And all of us must trust that Christ's blood and spirit wash all my sins away. We may all personally confess that. The blood and spirit of Christ washes my sin away. And so we come to the third point, where we may live as holy children. Now, we've been taught through the regular course of the Lord's days, as well as all through our lives, that the sacraments are instituted by God in order to strengthen our faith. And baptism does that more and more throughout our lives as we become aware of how badly we need Christ to wash us by his blood. Of course, babies can't comprehend that whatsoever. And the very young children will have a hard time understanding how important it is to realize this. But the longer you live, the more you realize how true the Bible speaks when it says we are corrupt, we're born as children of wrath. And for those who are so young that they struggle to understand that, you still need to trust what God's word tells you, because it will make itself known soon enough. After all, toddlers learn jealousy very quickly, and kids learn to lie. And by the time you're 10, you know what bullying is. Maybe you're the one doing it, maybe you're the one who it's being done to. But either way, you're face to face with sin. And early teens become experts at rebellion, and mid to late teens learn sexual sins, and adults, of course, are able to put it all together. The baptism teaches us that all of this comes from an original problem. We are children of wrath, and we need to be renewed by the Spirit of God. We need to become his children, to be born again. And every baptism that you witness, you are a little older than you were before. Maybe you're just a week older. Maybe you're a year older than the last baptism you saw, but you are older. And so every baptism, you know your sins just that much more. And so at every baptism, you realize more and more how much our sins are a stench to God. And to put it shortly, the older you get, the stinkier you realize you are. And so through baptism, the longer we live, the more baptisms we see, the more we learn to pray. For God teaches us just how much we need the washing of Christ's blood, which is what he's promised in the sacrament. He shows us that we are like the war zone that he describes. The smell of death is on us. And he shows us this so that we turn to the blood of Christ. Baptism thus strengthens our faith by reminding us again and again of our great need and the answer to that need in Christ Jesus. We are shown that we may expect the forgiveness of all our sins, which are a stench to God, because Christ offered his blood on the cross as an offering. Along with the gospel, baptism also points us to the cross, where faith is nourished, where faith may grow. That's one part of the strength that baptism gives. It teaches us to live as holy children by helping us to know our sins more and more, and constantly teaching us to run to the cross, to pray, and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And the more that you do that, the more we are strengthened in a second kind of way. For we are also washed with the Spirit of Christ, so that the more we realize how awful our sin really is, the more we also die to that sin and live in cleanliness. You see that there is something really remarkable in this Lord's Day. Question and answer 70 teaches us what it means to be washed in Christ's blood. All God's people can say to themselves then, I am holy. We are taught that through the blood of Christ, we receive forgiveness and are holy people. But at the same time, to be washed with the Spirit, we are also called to be holy. We're called in baptism to live out of the grace of God that He made us clean. And this is something that we learn to do more and more as we consider what baptism points to. Now, baptism strengthens our faith and calls us to live holy lives by telling us to be what we are in Christ Jesus. And so if you desire to be rid of all the filthiness, all the sin in your life, then make use of your baptism. Use it to reflect on its most important teaching, that our sin is filth, that it reeks to God and it offends Him. Understand that you are baptized because you need Christ to wash you with His blood and Spirit. And the more you reflect on how offensive sin is, how enslaving it is to you, the more you will realize what God has done for you by the death of Christ on the cross. And you will learn then to hate sin the way God hates it. Jealousy and rivalry, lying and sexual sins, greed and gluttony, they'll begin to stink to you as well. And you'll begin to hate it. And that's when you start to see sin the way God sees sin. And more you will practice clean things rather than filthy things. Amen.